You're tuned into Gospel for Grampian Gospel Community Radio for North Scotland. Engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. Now, welcome along to the Community Elements Show. And for this show, we've come down here to the harbour once again. We've been here a good few weeks back. And now we've come down on a almost virtually cloudless day. It's brilliant sunshine. Temperature's about 15 degrees Celsius here. And I'm looking into the harbour. We've got the Harbour Control Centre just across the way from me at the little village of Fitty, all part of Aberdeen now, of course. And I've got a ship coming in, one of the big orange supply ships, and that's coming in to Aberdeen to obviously stock up. But the real reason for coming along here is not to report on shipping, but to report on the amount of litter. During the night today, on a Thursday as I record this, quite a few folks from Aberdeen City Council, the staff, have been out and around quite a few of the sites already as part of a giant glitter pick. Now, this glitter pick was established by Environment Manager Stephen Shaw, who I'm going to be having a chat with a little bit later on. The glitter pick is now into its fourth year, and it was set up for a number of reasons, not least because the amount of money that was being spent and is being spent by the city each year on picking up litter and fly tipping runs into the millions, and is currently sitting somewhere about £4 million per year to clear up litter from the streets and also from landscapes such as this, which is really, I suppose you could almost consider this as part of a coastal route that goes around the coasts. And quite often there's a lot of litter here, a lot of litter that gets washed down into the marine environment. It's looking clean at the moment, mainly because people have already been out and around today. And we've got some oyster catchers down here, swifts coming in and about, which is great to see. And it's lovely to see everything in all its summer glory here. Some bird's foot trefoil, which is a lovely, otherwise known as bacon and eggs. We're just coming along the path here just a little bit more. But there is actually a Ribena bottle here. Now, obviously, this is something that could get recycled. So just pick this one up. It's got nothing in it. This could get recycled. There are also other bits and pieces of plastic, again, which could get picked up and sorted out, recycled. And that before it gets into any environment at all. This morning I've been down around the Den of Maidencraig Local Nature Reserve, out to the west of the city and quite close to where we live. Working there with the countryside rangers to help to clear up. A little bit later on, I shall be popping out after recording Brian's Good News to go up to the Cummins Park community flat, where there's going to be yet another litter clean. These litter cleans, these glitter picks, go on for 24 hours, really to raise the fantastic profile of what the city is doing. And it's actually being supported by a local newspaper, the Evening Express from Aberdeen Journal, so perhaps we might be able to actually have a little chat to them as well about their involvement with this. In the meanwhile, I'm going to leave you with some of the sounds of the harbour. And if you have a little look on the Ranger Service Facebook page, also find a little video of bumblebees on poppy, that's just lovely to see that on a lovely sunlit day like this morning. It's just the right type of day to be doing litter pick, because it's not really windy at all and it's really looking fantastic. I wonder what Brian's Good News is going to hold for us. We come now to the first of our community elements, and starting off with Brian's Good News. A very good day to you, Brian.
And a good day to you too, Rob.
It's great to see you here, and this day is fantastic, weather-wise.
Indeed. And the news is good also.
The news is good also, yes. Now, I think we're starting off with board games, are we not?
Indeed. The makers of a new board game focusing on the Northeast have started the hunt to find someone to launch it. Winning Moves UK is producing an Aberdeen version of Monopoly, which is set to hit the shelves later this year. It is set to feature a range of local landmarks and organisations, with the charity Befriend a Child already announced as the first square. Marshall College is also likely to feature, as well as Aberdeen Football Club's Pittodrie Stadium. A number of unique locally themed tokens will take the place of the usual Monopoly favourites such as the car, dog and boot. The game will be officially unveiled on October 15th and the makers are aiming to find a Northeast person or family to help launch it. To be in with a chance of being named an Aberdeen Monopoly VIP, those interested should get in touch with Winning Moves, telling them why they love the Granite City. The entries can be anything from poems to pictures and videos. The company's custom games executive, Jennifer Lau, said, "We are totally open-minded as to the form the entries should take. The most inventive and creative entry will win. The winners will receive the very first copy of the game to roll off the presses." Bosses at Winning Moves hope the launch of the popular game will spark a day of celebration in the Northeast. Monopoly producer Graham Barnes said, "The game will be officially launched at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, October 15th, and we are hoping it will mark a start of a day of celebration in Aberdeen." Mr. Monopoly will be going round the city, visiting prominent landmarks and posing for selfies. "We are thrilled that we now have a scheduled launch date for the game. We have had enormous advance orders from retailers as well as on Amazon. Aberdeen has a profile all over the world as a result of expats and tourists, and we are hopeful this version of the game will do well. To be in with a chance of becoming the VIP, email vip@6starpr.co.uk. A unique carved bench has been unveiled in honour of a much-loved vet who dedicated his life to working with animals. Staff at the Kirkton Vet Centre in Stonehaven wanted a special seat to be designed in memory of Alan Anat. The 70-year-old from Stonehaven died in January after contracting sepsis following cancer treatment complications. Alan, who has battled skin cancer the last 2 years, was originally from Perthshire, but moved to Stonehaven for work. He initially worked out of his family home on Ardoothie Road, but then moved to open the veterinary practice. The bench, which has been installed outside the building, features wooden carvings of a spaniel, a salmon and a rabbit. Mr. Anat's colleague, Fiona McPherson, also a vet at the practice, said they had worked together since 1990 and he was often at the centre with his two Cocker Spaniels, Jill and Gypsy. She said the seat, made of elm, was donated by his family friends and has been a hit with the owners of animals visiting the appointments. The 52-year-old said, "We gave the artist creative freedom, but we wanted to make sure he incorporated a few things. Alan had Cocker Spaniels and loved dogs, so we made sure to include a spaniel. George Burr, who donated the elm, used to bring in his rabbits over the last 30 to 40 years. That's why there's a rabbit. Alan was a very keen salmon fishery. Every Wednesday he would be down to the River Dee to fish. It's a lovely way to remember him by, and it just brings a smile to everyone's faces when you walk by it. If it makes someone smile, then I think it serves its purpose." Miss McPherson said both visitors and staff had been petting the wooden spaniel when walking past. She added, "It's sort of like the Greyfriars Bobby dog statue in Edinburgh. You can't help but rub his nose or stroke him." It's also been very popular with clients who come by with their dogs. Sometimes you take a peek outside and they have their dog sitting on the bench while they take a picture. The artist took about 2 months to complete the seat and the team at Kirkton Vet Centre also hopes to install a plaque in the near future. This McPherson described the bench as a lovely sight and praised chainsaw artist David Roberts for doing a tremendous job. She said, "We were just amazed when we finally saw it. A lot of people here have worked with him for a long time, and our younger staff used to come in with their pets when they were kids and now work here. It's a nice celebration of Alan's memory. It's a great way to remember him and his love for animals. He is very much missed by all of us at the centre." A guide dog has been named after legendary Doric musician Robbie Shepherd. The one-year-old German Shepherd has been sponsored by a family so he can be trained up to live with a blind or partially sighted person. Craig Pike and his comedy team, the Flying Pigs, have been busy fundraising with his relatives to pay for the special canine training. The group, well known for its BBC Two show Desperate Fishwives, raised the money for the Guide Dog for the Blind charity through generous donations popped into collection tins at Inverurie Panto events, and money was also added from donations given to Craig's parents George and Eileen Pike at their recent golden wedding party. Craig said, "Robbie has been a long-standing supporter of the Flying Pigs since we started over 20 years ago. He is such a well-known local face. When we decided to sponsor a guide dog, we were very keen to name it after Robbie. Guide dogs are such clever animals. They play such an important role for so many people who are stuck without them. We have supported the charity for a few years now because the work they do is so important." Robbie Shepherd, 83, met his namesake for the first time at Duthie Park in Aberdeen yesterday. The broadcaster said, "I am delighted to be a part of this. I am a big fan of the Flying Pigs, even though they do take the mick out of me on stage sometimes. I am honoured because a close family friend of ours, Christine Nish, used to train guide dogs, puppies, and was a great campaigner, so the charity is particularly close to my heart. The dog will be partnered up with a blind or partially sighted person to help them live more independently after it is fully trained. The dog's handler and trainer, Rona Armitage, who lives near Dundee and has worked with the charity for 19 years, said it would not be long before she says goodbye to the lovable German Shepherd, who is the eighth dog she has trained. She said he will go to his next stage in training in the summer. I enjoyed meeting Robbie today. He was such a lovely guy." A nurse who supports children with complex disabilities and life-changing conditions has spoken of the rewards of her job. Community nurse Fiona Fairley joined the Charlie House charity at the end of last year and through her role helps families. "The link between Fiona and the families supported by Charlie House is essential. She ensures there's a familiar face through every step of their journey. Staff at the charity are busy fundraising for its £8 million Big Build appeal to create a specialist support centre for children and their parents in Aberdeen. It will feature 8 bedrooms and accompanying family accommodation, as well as a range of different facilities, and will be built at Wood End Hospital. The nurse, who is employed by NHS Grampian with the position funded by Charlie House, spoke out about her role during Children's Hospice Week, a time of the year dedicated to raising awareness and funds for palliative care services for children across the UK. She said, "Every day is really different. One of the biggest things I do is home visits to kids and families out in the community all over the North East. A lot of them are admitted to hospital. I'll visit them wherever they are. It's so rewarding when you realise, especially with a child with a newly diagnosed condition, what a support you can be for them. It's nice when you see you can actually make a difference to that family. I think they like having someone there who knows them. The children can have feeding tubes and be using other medical equipment they've never had before. I can teach them how to use them to help them to get home from hospital quicker. I help make that discharge process a bit easier, especially for the first time they're going home, because there's so much involved, and I'll go and see them at home to see how they're getting on. The community nurse is on hand to help children move through the different stages of their treatment, helping babies with neonatal care and making sure children with life-limiting conditions have the best quality of life. Lee Ryrie, Children and Family Support Manager at Charlie House, said, "Having Fiona as a key part of our team is a vital link between Charlie House and Royal Aberdeen Children's Hospital. Many of the families we support can spend extended periods of time in the hospital, so to still be able to have that link with Charlie House when they are admitted is comforting and familiar to the families." We have a scripture text today, taken from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God."
Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you very much, Brian. I was just thinking, when you read your first story out about Monopoly, we actually do have a copy, I think the first version of the Monopoly game for Aberdeen. So there is already a version out there, but this version is obviously promising to be something rather more special.
Yes, it must be. And that will be appreciated indeed.
Yeah, especially including local landmarks, and indeed the actual tokens that you move around are going to be based on Aberdeen items. So it'll be interesting to see how they do, and whether you actually need to have a card machine to actually use the game. I don't know, because I played a version of the game that you actually need to have a card machine. You put a card in and you then get your money as money on a card. And when you pay someone, they have to put their card in one side and you put it in the other side, and you type in the money that you're going to pay to them, and it transfers it. It could be quite exciting, yeah. Anyway, we've played this Monopoly game before, but I'll be interested to see what the new Monopoly game does. And I would love to be able to actually see this, some of the proceeds actually from the Monopoly game going to actually help charities in the Northeast. Now, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Of course it will.
Yeah. Right. Now, it's fairly pet-orientated. At least two stories are pet-orientated, aren't they? In fact, almost three, because you've got, well, health-orientated in the last one with Charlie House, and this is something that I know is quite close to your heart, really, Charlie House.
Yes, it's really helping people of, well, virtually all ages, but mostly young people, to adjust more to life and have a more successful and longer life, and happier too.
Yeah, and by having a community nurse such as Fiona Fairley, it helps to make that link between the NHS and indeed Charlie House.
So she really enjoys her job, and I'm not at all surprised at that.
Well, you can see that.
The satisfaction that she gets from helping people is brilliant.
And I'm quite sure that no one day is the same.
Hmm.
So then you've got your two pet stories, one where they're actually remembering someone who took really good care of pets, and then the second one where they're training up guide dogs to provide a seeing dog to help people who are blind.
That's a brilliant service, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think that these charities, they just go and they continuously do day in, day out, to make sure that people actually have that support that is there. And they do get recognised, yes, but maybe not as much as they could do.
Not as much as they deserve.
And it's good that they were naming it after Robbie Shepherd. So thank you very much for that, Brian. I believe that you have got a little addendum to make.
Yes, indeed, today. Because last week, if you were listening, you would have heard about a school crossing patroller at Woodside School who did a fantastic job and was so well received by all the children and the parents and that. Well, since then, he has received a Star Award from the Evening Express. They have recognised his work and have named him as the People's Champion. His name was Bill Esselmond, and he really did such a great job that
in my opinion, he really deserved that award.
And as you say, he didn't really like the limelight, so he didn't actually attend the awards ceremony last Thursday. He wasn't there for that. Oh. Because, of course, he had to get up as a school crossing patrolman the following day. And so I think...
He had his priorities correct.
He had his priorities. And so he will have got the award by now. But it was, I have to say, a really good night for many, the Star Awards. And even the Ranger Service got an award.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
And especially since... I don't want to make you big-headed.
Thankfully, I'll be able to get out the door.
Rob is a member of the Countryside Ranger Service, and they received a special Star Award from the council that same evening. But don't get too big-headed.
It was for use of resources, and as we'd already received such an award before, we were actually really most surprised, because the actual standard, the calibre of the people in all categories was strong, and particularly we thought in our particular category, which was use of resources, we all thought that it could have easily gone to the either of the other two as well, so we were most surprised when we ended up getting it. So that was really good.
Yeah, you were very pleased.
We were pleased, yes, and somewhat humbled as well, just because we didn't, I suppose, expect to get that.
But nevertheless, because of the award, you were obviously recognised.
We were indeed, and it's always a privilege. Whenever we have...
And an encouragement.
And it's an encouragement. It's a pat on the back, and it's a kind of, well, you know, we would like to see you do more in the future, and that should be the way it goes. Now, I have to mention that today, Brian, as we record this, is actually a special day. It's a Thursday, and it's the day of the glitter pick. It's the day of the glitter pick, and, you know, I've been already out and about. 6 o'clock this morning, I was out and about with this high-vis on and doing a little bit of litter picking, at least, though I did feel a bit of a fraud because some of the others had got more litter than I had. It's just the route I took. I ended up thinking, I'll go up this way, and then find that someone had already done that route. So then I went the other way, and there wasn't really a lot of litter. But in a sense, that's a really good thing. There wasn't such a lot of litter in certain parts of the site, so where it mattered for nature, that was good that there wasn't so much litter.
But you can be satisfied because you did something which will improve.
We did something which will improve, and hopefully the heart is to raise the profile of the fact that litter is out there, the fact that litter is causing a real issue. Not only in the countryside, but in Aberdeen, because I believe that the running total, almost year on year, is about £4 million that the council spends to pick up litter. And that, I'm sure you would agree, is a huge amount of money.
Very much so. It would be great if that could be reduced.
Markedly reduced. I mean, think what you could actually use that money for, to instead of actually spending that money on picking up litter and dog poo. I mean... Today I popped out to just by the harbour and looked across the control centre, and on the ground people, I mean, I know it's dog walkers, and they pick up their dog's poo, they leave it in dog poo bags along the side. In their minds they think they're going to come back later and pick it up. But in reality, I don't think that's actually what happens. They forget about it, they follow a different route, and then they leave it in situ. So you've got something for people possibly to step on, something that could possibly blow about if it's not weighed down enough. Mm-hmm. And it's there, and it really should be put in the correct place, which is a dog poo bin. And then there's plastic. People unwrap chocolate or something, and then the wrapper goes immediately on the ground, and then it's there, which can be blown into the sea or into bushes. And then birds nest in bushes, and there were loads and loads of birds around. But why? Why not just pick things up and put it in? Or if it's something that can be recycled, then recycle it. There was a Ribena bottle, which could easily have been recycled easily have been put in a recycling bin. I took it and I popped it in a recycling bin. But why not the actual person take it and put it in the bin?
That would be very important, I think. It's our minds that need to be concentrating on doing things properly.
Yeah. Now, I'm pleased to say that actually that you've been getting all these good news stories out of the Evening Express, and tomorrow you should even have a spread all about the glitter pick that's actually taking place today. And the Evening Express and the editor are very keen on the work that is being done today, the work that is actually being done to pick up litter from the streets, and they are in full support of this. How great it would be to actually get supermarkets and takeaways and other businesses involved with this. Schools are involved, yes, and I think people are starting to take notice, but it could be a lot more. So for the supermarkets and the takeaways to actually have something about this and getting the message across to people not to be dropping the litter, and to think where that money could go to. It could, that money in these times of strictures could be used for helping children to get better results at school by providing extra equipment. That money could go to providing help for poorer people who are not able to manage otherwise to be providing with food, because I know that the council does a great job in making sure that children of less well-off families are given food and help during the summer when the schools are not on, but they're given meals and things. Now, it would help the council greatly to be able to provide these services for people.
And the whole community would benefit from this.
And, well, the whole city would benefit, yes, because ultimately, if year on year you could reduce down the amount of litter, it would result in, who knows, as well as extra services, it might even result in less costs by way of council tax.
It would do.
And also emergency services like the police, the fire service and ambulance, some of their money actually comes through the council.
True.
So again, there'd be more police, there'd be more fire services. There's only 6 fire engines in Aberdeen. Would you believe it?
Wow.
6 fire engines in Aberdeen. And for every call out, at least 2 or 3 of them go to 1 call out.
Uh-huh.
So if there were 2 call outs across the city, then that's all 6 tied up. But then if people light malicious fires, willful fire raising on the likes of the Gramps or any of the other places, the fire in dry conditions like this can take hold. If there's lots of litter on the ground, that can go up. So the fire service are particularly keen for people to pick up litter. And you then get a result of, if there's a following wind, you can get a huge amount of damage being caused, insurance, knock-on effects of people being put at risk, not least the fire service. So we're thinking, come on people, make sure that you pick up litter. Come on, people, think what that money could be used for.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm a bit on a bit of a rant here, but it really is, I think, it's a justified rant.
Yes.
Because we're believing that people can do so much more. The council does what it can to help. It helps people, but people can do so much as well for themselves and for others.
It's very, very important. I'm glad you've mention these things, because you've increased my determination to pick up any litter that I might see.
Well, yes, and I think if we got a pair of gloves or something for, and a litter picker for each person and some bags, well, who knows what could be done. But they are encouraging people to pick up litter, not only today, but it takes days like this to really get people going.
Yeah, we can see the benefit from it.
Yeah, you can. Brian, can I thank you very much, and can I get you to go and read out the scripture once again?
Willingly. From Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, which says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Amen.
Amen. Brian, can I thank you very much for coming in, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a fortnight's time. This programme going out again next Friday at the same time, also on Saturday and Sunday at 12 p.m. And this will be also available as a podcast. Keep it coming. This is Gospel for Grampian. For this community element, we've come out to the Cummins Park community flat, and I'm with Stephen Shaw. Hello, Stephen. You've been actually on the go, environmental manager that you are, since 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, just before four I started off, so I was up at just after three, got some breakfast and then headed out and saw the sunrise. So it was lovely. Beautiful morning, peace and quiet, just me and the birds. It's amazing.
And I gather a bit of a change from sometimes when you've been doing this event.
We've been very lucky over the years with the weather. It certainly makes a difference when the sun shines and it's nice and quiet. So it's been great so far.
So far indeed. And what about the amount of litter on this glitter pick?
Yeah, this is the fourth year we've done the glitter pick, and I am seeing a noticeable difference, and it's lovely to see it, and a reduction in the amount of litter we're collecting. Everywhere we've been so far, there's been less to collect. Everyone's been so enthusiastic. And what I've been hearing from all the groups we've been collecting from is that they're doing more litter picks. So they're doing it rather than just doing a one-off litter pick, like they used to do back in the glitter picking original days, they're doing it every week now. So that's obviously made a big difference. Local people are seeing what a difference that's making. And it's just, you know, things have been building. The campaign's been building slowly over the years. And it's obviously now making a difference. And it's lovely to see it. It makes, you know, it's inspiring, I think, to see so many people out and about. And they're obviously making a difference to the local community. And to see so many young people. We had a baby this morning, just a few months old. So our youngest litter picker yet. So that was lovely to see. It's been a fab morning so far. And I don't feel the slightest bit tired.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Now, could you tell us a wee bit more, Stephen, about the whole concept of the glitter picks and how it all came about? Because obviously you spend out a large amount of money. Is it 4 million?
4 million, yes. 4 million in Aberdeen City Council we spend. And that's probably quite a conservative estimate in terms of when you think that doesn't include what we spend maybe in schools, around community centres, etc. So that 4 million, it's a scary number. Imagine what we could do with that money if we weren't wasting it on picking up litter. So the glitter pick, this is year four. We started off looking to add a wee bit of fun to Clean Up Aberdeen. Clean Up Aberdeen is a campaign now that's been running for 5 years, if I'm right. It's always been about a sustainable campaign and building it and getting partnerships and spreading the message. So we thought, what can we do to add a wee bit of fun to the cleanups? And of course, you know, a fun stroke, a bit of a challenge. Let's do it for 24 hours non-stop, see how we get on. I have twin boys who are 9 now. Back when they were 6 years ago, one of them, Lewis, suggested that we reanimate Glitter Pick because we're putting the sparkle back into Aberdeen. So for a 6-year-old, that's genius. So we've run with it since. And now it's environmentally friendly glitter now, by the way, of course, you know. It's
yeah.
So and since then it's grown and grown. And it's just amazing to see so many groups out and about. I think we've got over... I think we've got 36 plus today coming out, and that's the ones we know about. Lorna shared the message. Things have gone to 5,000 different people. So just, again, it's, you know, it's just building and sharing the message, supporting what we do. You know, if you can come out and do a wee bit, brilliant, but just sharing that message and helping, it makes such a difference.
Indeed, and I believe you also have help from the local newspaper, the Evening Express.
Evening Express have been absolutely brilliant. They've supported us since the launch of Clean Up Aberdeen campaign back in March, and they're keen to support, keen to come out. I met Kath, the photographer, earlier today, who was taking some amazing photos of Middleton Park Primary School, who were just having the best fun cleaning up litter. It was good to see, and lots of local people asking what they were doing and speaking to them and giving them a thumbs up and a well done. So just all that just builds that sort of confidence in the kids and makes it... It's we're celebrating this positivity rather than it being a negative thing. You know, when I was at school, if you got litter picking duties, that meant you'd done something wrong. But now it's something that all the kids want to get involved in and celebrate and support, and just to see them all smiling and really enjoying it, making a difference. That's the key here, that they really are making that difference. So it's lovely to see it, and I can't. You know, this is, how can you not enjoy this out in the sunshine?
Yeah, just like this.
You know, out in the parks and green spaces, seeing everybody enjoying themselves. But at the same time, we're actually making that difference. We're collecting litter, and we're spreading the good word. So, all good.
Excellent. How do you see this developing in the future? Obviously, more partnerships. Where would you be looking to address further in future years?
I'd like to think that we'll have to do less of this in the future because everybody takes a wee bit of responsibility, does it for themselves. We no longer hear that, oh, it's a council's job to do that. It's not a council's job. We sweep the streets, we pick up litter, but it's everyone's responsibility to put a stop to that. And as I said earlier, if we can do that, then that £4 million can be spent on parks, play areas, green spaces, you know, lovely things rather than picking up litter. So I'd like to think that this campaign will build and build. We've got more schools on board than we've ever had. We've 18 schools signed up to clean up Aberdeen, but we know there's many more who do that. There are eco groups and green flags, etc. They're all on board with it. We've got councillors very supportive and championing this with us. We saw council leaders Douglas Lumsden and Jenny Lang out this morning, and they're going to be with us throughout the day doing other bits and pieces. So, you know, we've got that partnerships from and support and from the top leaders in the city council right through to months old babies being part of this. So there you go. And everything in between.
Everything in between. And what about further afield? Do you think other councils are catching on with this? I think it's a national thing as well as a local thing.
There's definitely been a switch, Robert. And you'll you know, being somebody who's involved in the environment, you'll have seen that the change, certainly this last 12 months, in terms of that push to reduce plastics and to help clean up our oceans, and you know, and that's come about. Sir David Attenborough, you know, his TV program, that's helped, but also a lot more celebrities. I think it's just been promoted better. That everybody now understands that it's a responsibility that we've got to do something, because if we don't, you know, for my kids and my grandkids, you've got to worry for what the environment will look like.
Yeah.
You know, and that. So we've got to, you know, we have to take that responsibility and make the change happen. And that's what I find so inspiring, is to see young people get involved in doing that. And it's lovely to see it, and it makes you smile, and it just keeps you going.
Excellent. Stephen Shaw, Environment Manager. Can I thank you very much?
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
It was a great pleasure to have Stephen Shaw on the go there, and thanks very much for that. And I'm pleased to say that was the correct version of the interview. So that's at least something. And if you were to listen tomorrow on Sunday at 12 o'clock, you would also hear the correct version now, I'm pleased to say. We'll have a quick run through. There were 24 locations, 24 hours, and there were several different groups. I believe that Stephen Shaw mentioned that there were about 36 different groups, and just some of the groups included Aberdeen City Council Environmental Services Department, Friends of Walker Dam Countryside Rangers, Friends of Seton Park, the Tree Squad from Aberdeen City Council, Middleton Park School, Kirkhill School, Riverbank School, Erie Hall School, Friends of Victoria and Westburn Orchard and Orchard Bray School. There's also Kitty Brewster Primary, Cummins Park Community Flat, which is where I popped up to, the Brighter Bucksburn and Stonywood School, Brimmen School, Heathery Fold Park Steering Group, also Dolphin Watch, that's the Royal RSPB, Cove Community, Spirit Energy, Friends of Denburn, Red Moss Red Up, 17th Aberdeen Beavers, Spirit Energy, Fit Like Joggers, Kingcorth Community, Sport Aberdeen, Friends of Sunnybank, Fitty Residence, and more from ACC Environmental Services. And they were in Riverside, Garthy, Torrey, Hazelhead, Ellen Road, Bridge of Don, Walker Dam, Denham Maiden Craig, Asda Park, Wellington Road, Tree Belt, Airy Hall. I'm just naming just a few of these. Broadhill, Cove, South Shore, Greyhope Beach, Denburn, Sunnybank Park, Fitty along the beach, Ballroom Beach and Lynx Road retail car park, and who knows, another year it could be different. But one of the things that Stephen was saying is that the amount of litter is getting less, the amount of people starting to take responsibility for the cleaning up of litter is getting greater, and it was certainly quite prominent to see people getting out and about, just doing even a little bit, and going and making sure that they clean up their local area right where they are, and that can make a huge difference. So if everyone did that, then think where you could be, and the city would be able to afford a lot more in the future. I know certain other cities are scrupulously clean, and that's because there are fines and all sorts of other things. But with Aberdeen City certainly wants to do things by getting communities and people to take responsible ownership of the various places where they live. And that's such a good and a very, very important thing to do. So I'd like to recommend to you Clean Up Aberdeen. There's a website, but there's also a Facebook page as well. So do have a little look in there. You'll see pictures of all sorts of things going on in the last few days, and also when I did put an appearance yesterday, so you'll see that as well. Do have a look out, and if you're in Aberdeen, do get involved, because I'd love to see you get involved with your community, make a difference, and you could really help to secure a heritage of wonderful green spaces in Aberdeen, perhaps for your kids and your grandkids, and for your community. Anyway, I'm going to be signing off very soon, because we're going to be going into All Sons and Daughters, Great is Our God. We'll have hopefully more information from Clean Up Aberdeen, and indeed from Lorna Graham, who helps to coordinate this, and she actually organised the whole event through Stephen Shaw. Stephen did, through Lorna Graham. They do a tremendous job, and hats off to all of them, and thank you very much for coming on. Right, do listen out for us on Saturday and Sunday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. and also indeed during the week as part of our community best programs. But for the moment, bye-bye, have a great week, and we'll be back actually with another full show in a fortnight's time.